We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Well, this is the second hour. Good morning, Upstate. This is the Tara Show. I, of course, am not Tara. I don't think she could sound like this even with the worst cold. Ingalls Advantage Talk Line is 800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 71307. I got asked a question on the text line. Why is Tucker Carlson so upset? So, you know, I need to go to the specialist.
Viva el Presidente!
El Presidente.
Good morning, sir.
So, did you see that Tucker Carlson took exception with Sidney Powell because she, prior to going to court, did not send him the entirety of her case so that he could look at that and determine whether he thinks it's real or not?
No, I did not see that.
That apparently is a thing. he points a few things out. He's like, he said that Sidney Powell refused to provide or show evidence backing her bombshell claim that electronic voting machines stole millions of votes from President Donald Trump. Do you think these talking heads understand, even Tucker Carlson, and this is the thing I say about anybody involved in politics, if you get too wrapped up in the personality, you are setting yourself up for bitter disappointment. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm all about the message, not the messenger.
Yeah. See, Lee and I, we get paid in gruel if we do anything right.
Yes.
We don't get any ticker tape parades or adulation or anything. We just get an extra spoonful of gruel in the chow line.
May I have some more, sir?
More, please. So, you know, what is it about this? Because I see this all the time, where the personality begins to believe that they're the story, not the story is the story, and they're just the conveyance.
Well, I have not seen this. I did not watch Tucker last night. In fact, I've been watching a lot less television. Period. For various reasons. But at any rate, I think Tucker is getting into that thing now where he's trying to at least look like an objective journalist. Listen, Tucker Carlson to me is one of the few guys out there, or gals for that matter, that are willing to be as critical of the left and the right. And I'm not saying that he's some journalistic savior. Don't get me wrong. I do like the guy. I do think he does a pretty good job and has had some very interesting perspectives on some things. And I think is in the vein of the more intellectual conservatives, let's say, than some of the others, like a Sean Hannity or whoever.
Sure.
But I think what they're looking at now, and I think from a journalistic standpoint, that they're saying, okay, you guys are making these claims about election interference, about things that are going on, about there being some type of problem with the voting machines. Let's see some evidence. Now, granted, I have been critical of large American media corporations for talking about false claims from the Trump administration.
Sure.
With regard to the election. But I do think that if you're going to make these charges, you do need to have some form of some evidence. Now, this sword cuts both ways, because we have seen in the Russia collusion hoax, we have seen in the abomination of justice with regard to Justice Brett Kavanaugh and his treatment, that the media went, damn the torpedoes full speed ahead with very dubious claims with very little corroboration, if any, and acted as if these were truths.
Yeah.
So,
well, see, to the first point, he's trying to be objective. I if he's actually trying to do that, that's great. But you don't have to be objective. You get out there, and I mean, I think you do a fairly good job of it. You get out there and you put out the facts. You don't embellish about it. You don't get out there and say, well, somebody had a wreck today. Obviously, they were texting and should have been paying attention to the road. That deer was obviously silhouetted in the headlights before they collided with it. Wow. You know, just there's a wreck out there on highway whatever. And putting out the facts is all that's really required. But there is none of that. And you know, getting out there and trying to pretend like there's going to be somebody without a bias.
Yeah.
I mean, that's sort of a stretch for me. I have seen this. Sacha Baron Cohen did this in the Second Amendment advocacy because he got out there and he put it on this facial prosthetic. He was doing something with Showtime.
Yeah.
And he lured a bunch of Second Amendment advocates into doing a special with him. He would walk in and go, hello, I am Mossad, former Mossad major from Israel. And every one of them, when they saw the television cameras, ate it up and said, well, yeah, I'd love to be a part of your project. And you had people like Larry Pratt, the former director of executive director of Gun Owners of America, who is, I mean, that dude was first on everything. He never shied away from any fight. He'd be there on the day of a rampage shooting, just taking it all and doing the thing. He fell for it, and he actually got on TV, which they showed on Showtime, and said, yeah, I think arming three-year-olds would be a good idea to stop school shootings. Because they were led into this, because yeah. They fall into this thing where they get the fevered ego takes over.
Yeah.
And then they become the story, and it's not about the story anymore. So, you know, and I think Tucker maybe has stepped into this because why would you get out there and talk to a lawyer and say, give me all the details to your case before you actually present it in front of a judge and actually do it in court?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you wouldn't do that either.
But no.
Although there is discovery and there are other legal things, and I'm certainly no attorney and certainly and thankfully have not had too much experience with attorneys other than maybe real estates and wills.
Right.
So, you know, hasn't thankfully not been too many criminal cases I've been involved in. But
and we're not talking about any of that either.
Anyway, but seriously, there are certain things that you do have to reveal as you present a case. And then, of course, there are other things that you don't necessarily have to. But you know, Tucker Carlson is not the arbiter of, you know, the truth.
No.
He is. And honestly, and there's no question, folks like Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity and others on the Fox network and on other networks, they are not journalists. They are talk show hosts on television.
Commentators.
Commentators, exactly. Yeah. They are editorializing. They have a political viewpoint. And quite honestly, I do think that at least on the Fox network that these folks tell you up front, yeah, this is not news. This is political commentary. And I think that you do have many of the other networks who do a very poor job of identifying what is commentary and what is they are presenting as news.
Well, the other thing that I've noticed now, Daily Caller, which is Tucker Carlson's website, I don't know if he still owns it or not. They have been in. Maybe they are trying to seem more objective because they've been hiring a bunch of leftist writers. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yeah, I see their stuff. I get their emails. And I think they do a pretty fair job of always trying to be fairly objective and at least letting some people that are somewhat critical of the, conservative du jour, get their point across. I find their stuff to be pretty good.
It is pretty good. But when you get out there, for somebody like him to get out there and say, we need to be objective, don't we need to remember that the left has control of academia?
Oh, yeah, I know.
The tech sector, Hollywood, just about everything except the presidency right now and the Senate right now. They have control of everything else. If there's anything systemic going on, they're the ones doing it because they've got the system.
Well, I think many conservatives, myself as one, our greatest fault is that we always want to respect law and order and we want to try to follow the rules. And the left does not play by those rules. The left will break the law, will go for disorder over order anytime if they think that it benefits their cause or advances their agenda.
Yeah.
Now, that's not to say that there's never anyone on the right who does something wrong. That's not my point. But as a whole, generally, conservatives are much more conservative in their approach to how they behave and how they want governance to be governed. And progressive, liberals, secularists, all of those tend to not care whether or not they actually follow those rules, laws, or regulations because they think they're stacked against their particular grievance group to begin with.
Well, one thing that you know, because I know that you are a very shrewd observer, you know that everything approaches critical mass and eventually detonates.
Mm-hmm.
And this little game they're playing, what they think they want, when they get it, that it's not going to be enjoyable for them.
Things are not going to be as easy as they think.
Not at all.
And listen, don't get me wrong. I'm not sitting here advocating any type of violent reaction to anything. I never will. I always want that to be the last thing, and I'm not advocating that, and I'm not trying to promote that. I'm just simply saying that if this what looks like may be a Biden administration for us,
mm-hmm.
thinks that every single state and every single group of American people are going to bow down to whatever dictates that they have from D.C., there's going to be a long road to hoe there.
The other, I just go with physics, you know. I just go with physics.
For every, people will be satisfied.
No, for every action, there's an equal but opposite reaction.
Yes, yes, there
is. Yeah. So, yeah. Einstein, thank you very much. And, of course, El Presidente.
Viva El Presidente!
Always a slice.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
There's been some shakeups within the Trump administration regarding special operations within the military. And let me point out why special operations. And real quick before I do this, I should have been quoting Newton and not Einstein. Thank you, texters, for looking out. Anyway, special operations, if you look back in history, my first thought of what would be considered a special operations group would be the Gurkhas. The Gurkhas are, they actually still serve to this day. They're Indian in origin, and they serve in the Nepalese, British, and Indian armies. And they do meet requirements of Article 47, Protocol 1, which would dub them mercenaries, but they're actually exempt in a similar way as the French Foreign Legion. And their little catchphrase is if a man says he's not afraid of dying, he's either lying or he's a Gurkha. In World War II, there are tales of the Gurkhas creeping up on German guard units and beheading them and then rearranging things and then leaving that for the Germans to find. What special operations specialize in is sucking the wind out of the opponent, taking from them their will to fight. That's why special operations is so important. And that's why item number one, you should never put embedded reporters with special operations because they do some horrific things. That's why it's special. Acting Defense Secretary Chris Miller, day before yesterday, signed a memo realigning the Assistant Defense Secretary for Special Operations. And now they report directly to him, as do the Army, Navy, and Air Force secretaries. So now special operations comes in the Joint Chiefs of Staff and in the civilian chain of command as well. And this means now the president has control over this a little more readily. Now, why is this important? Once again, special operations, by their very nature, are special. They deal in things that are unconventional. And they also do electronic warfare, which when you start and you know, you can sit out there. I'm not privy to I had a security clearance where I would have been privy if I were in the military today. I'd be privy to what they are capable of doing and what they may have doing if somebody decided I had a need to know, which was very unlikely. But I'll honestly tell you, I don't know what they got going on, but special operations do a lot of things electronically now. They have special units in that, and they do a lot of things, especially with the advent of the drone system, as they figured out, well, we can electronically fight this. They do it that way because it actually doesn't, it doesn't expend personnel. And it's a relatively inexpensive way to do things. And it just makes you wonder if Hammer Scorecard is actually a refinement of something that they say was developed initially in Venezuela, which they're saying Hammer Scorecard was developed by CIA. And then you get out there and you think to yourself, well, you know, CIA, they do a few things here and there with special operations from time to time. And it's all conjecture, of course. But, and on the text line, they're talking about servers being seized in Germany. There is talk of that. There is talk of that. And I don't know how they would be seized unless it was either with the cooperation of the German government or clandestine, if that is the case. So, all of these things that are happening in the background and everything, of course, if there is a Biden presidency, it can be undone. But here's the thing that we have to keep in mind. The exposure that the system is getting now is it's sort of like the coronavirus. Coronavirus cannot withstand sunlight. UV rays just burns it up. When you're outside, you're in a relatively really good bubble. I mean, it's nice to be outside with the air moving and everything. And that part of it is sort of the same thing as what happens with the exposure that this system is getting. And when half of the country doesn't trust the system, something's going to have to give. Now, the Democrats, of course, they're going to try to resist that all they can. But like I said, as Newton said, you know, there's always going to be that equal but opposite reaction. And that's where their problem lies. And, you know, once again, they're going to come out of the gates trying to do a bunch of different things. They want to put us back in the Paris Climate Accords. Hope you enjoyed that cheap gasoline that you were getting there, leftists. They're going, and, you know, I hope you enjoyed all this other stuff that's going away there, leftists. Anyway, a lot of stuff happening in the backgrounds that Trump has become aware of, and Trump is a very dangerous political operator when he gets aware. In the same vein that a broken clock is right twice a day, I've been seeing a lot of leftists come out, and these are leftists in, or maybe they're liberals. And you need to understand the difference between a liberal and a leftist. John F. Kennedy was a liberal Democrat. Okay? A liberal is for liberty. And getting out there, this is theft of the vernacular is what it boils down to. It's in the same vein as assault weapon and other things that come up that where they've taken the language and made it part of their lexicon. So there's been some liberal Democrats like Professor Jonathan Turley. He's gotten out there and he's been calling out all these things that have to do with irregularities and calling them out the way they are. So I was a little bit surprised when I saw something coming out of the New York Times. They got really huffy and puffy when Senator Tom Cotton ran a Law and Order op-ed. And you would expect that the woke police at the publication, because there have been some people that resigned out of there, they have become the de facto overseers on the editorial side. So you would have thought they would have shot this one down. But they didn't. In short, in a piece by Stephen Tellez of Johns Hopkins University that frankly tells the leftists, yeah, the Constitution may be unfair, but it's what we got, so deal with it. I don't agree with that necessarily, but it is a refreshing thing to see coming from that side, and it's a shot through the heart regarding the left's lust to bring this country under majority mob rule, which is what they want to do. There's some talk out there of doing – one of the reasons they want to do away with the Electoral College is that they think that Montana, which only has 600,000 people, shouldn't have as much say as California, which has 39 million people. That kind of thing. So they want mob rule. And But that quote sums up the left's whining about how they're not going to get the changes they want post 2020. And you can either complain about the rain while it's hitting you in the head, or you can reach out and grab an umbrella. Either way, for the foreseeable future, you're going to have to work with the system we have now, which is the one that, you know, was established by the founding fathers, and deal with the fact that diversity is needed to at least have a chance of getting what you want to get done. That agenda of defunding the police and the Green New Deal and raising taxes and more regulatory red tape and more COVID lockdowns, that's not very popular. Ask Glenn Reese. Or for that matter, ask Josh Kimbrell, who unseated Glenn Reese after 30 years in the South Carolina state legislature. Ask him how that played for him. And he wasn't even pushing it. He does tell us, does concede that the liberal argument might be logical, but it's a strategic dead end. And verbatim, he says, the United States is, and in almost any plausible scenario, will continue to be a federal republic, not a democracy. We are constituted as a nation of states, not as a single unitary community, a fact that is hardwired into the constitutional structure. Liberals may not like this. Now, see, he's using the phrase that he should not be using. Leftists may not like this, but just as a man standing outside in a rainstorm does not like the fact he's getting soaked, but instead of cursing the rain, makes a lot more sense for him to find an umbrella. Leftists need to adjust their political strategy and ideological ambition to the country and political system we actually have and make the most of it rather than cursing that which they cannot change. That is a really astute observation on his point. I don't know what he's taking into consideration when he says you cannot change that. What I think when I think about them trying to forcefully change things through legislative means is war. Civil war. But he goes on, there are certainly some profound democratic deficits built into our federal constitution. Even federal systems like Germany, Australia, and Canada do not have the same degree of representative inequality that the Electoral College and Senate generate between a citizen living in California versus one living in Wyoming. And there's also next to nothing we can do about it. The same system that generates the pattern of representative inequality also means that, short of a violent revolution, the beneficiaries of our federal system will not allow for it to be changed except at the margins. If the Democrats at some point get a chance to get full representation for Washington, D.C., they should take it. Beyond that, there are few, if any, pathways to changing either the Electoral College or the structure of the Senate. So any near-term strategy for Democrats must accept these structures as fixed. The initial step in accepting our federal system is for Democrats to commit to organizing everywhere, even places where we are not currently competitive. We also need to recognize that the cultural values and rituals of Democrats in cosmopolitan cities and liberal institutional bastions like universities do not seem to travel well. Slogans like defund the police and abolish ICE may be mobilizing in places where 3/4 of the voters pulled the lever for Democrats, but it is madness to imagine that they could be the platform of a competitive party nationwide. He mentions Howard Dean, the former head of the DNC, his 50-state strategy of organizing and competing everywhere. And that's true. This isn't a tough turn for the Democrats. They've done it before. They dominated and clinched pockets of rural America in 2006 and 2008. But their hard left shift, once they got what they wanted in 2006 and 2008, now they've sort of become sort of shaky, and they sort of wiped themselves out in 2016. And the fact that no significant gains in any of the state legislative levels occurred this year is another issue. The health of a party begins locally. It begins in the counties, and it begins in the states. And the state level is essential for a party's health. That's where your bench is. That's where your depth comes from. Sort of like the NFL draft. This is where you find these gems to fill some solid candidate slates. It's the combine, and these shoddy state parties lead to mismanagement, poor candidates, and it makes you uncompetitive. And it's a no-brainer. But it's shocking how bad some apparatuses have become. And if you look at the Virginia GOP, it's not what it was 10 years ago. The issue with Dean 2.0 is that I don't think the base is going to take too kindly to it, because that's more centrist, which is where the country wants to be. The cycle that saw his strategy net some successes was a time when the Democrats tolerated more right-leaning candidates. They, the blue dog Democrat, if you would. there is not going to be any tolerance for more gun-grabbing, anti-cop, quasi-socialist economic plan outside of the coasts and the cities. You guys can have it. Enjoy it. Hope you're enjoying it, California. I know you're all locked down while Gavin Newsom's out there partying. You know, enjoy all that stuff. And maybe what we should do, I'm ready to do this as far as, that's another thing altogether. Joe Manchin right now sort of sits alone in the Democratic side of the Senate as a sort of a voice of moderation. I'm sort of thinking we should maybe trade Mitt Romney for him. Let's get Joe Manchin over here. And let's get Mitt Romney where he belongs. But, you know, this is some tough love being thrown the Democrats' way. And the internal fight going on within the Democratic Party is going to be entertaining, to say the least. So right now, things like court packing and other hard left items are off the menu. Now, that could, of course, change if the GOP does something disastrous in Georgia now, because for some reason, some other people have decided that is our fallback and that's where we should be. I've always thought that you don't win a fight by fighting defensively. And we're in an ideological fight. And the idea that we're not in some form of combat where it's just gentlemen's rules, that's over with. That's over with. Those days of the civilized debate, they're done. The left wants no part of that. I say let's meet them halfway and give them what they want, okay? On the text line, talk radio like you is the very reason Trump won and lost. Keep pissing us off and see. We're not afraid of you. So we're the reason Trump won and we're the reason Trump lost. I think you're probably a little confused. And no need to be afraid of me. I'm a person that loves peace. I'm a peaceful, loving person. No need to be afraid of me. The only time anybody has to worry about me is if you come up and you try to hurt me. And then you should be a little bit concerned. Okay. There's a new study on mask wearing in the time of COVID, and it shows once again that the experts have been peddling information that might not be true. If you want to apply real common sense here, wearing a mask to prevent spreading the virus makes sense. But it doesn't make you immune. There's nothing that makes you immune. Viruses are going to do what viruses do. And with the back and forth on masks, the credibility of this recommendation has been shot up like a piece of Swiss cheese. The best part is that the study undermines the mask regimes the COVID Nazis want us to abide by on a daily basis. I wear a mask everywhere I go in where they require that I wear a mask. Because I carry a gun everywhere I go. And it's not worth it to me for some person to come up who is a Karen or a Darren or whatever you want to refer to it and make a big deal out of it and then it devolve into something worse. So I just wear a mask. Actually, I wear a face shield because I'm asthmatic. So I wear a face shield. And it has the same net result as a mask, but you'll find out anyway. The headline, this is a headline from the New York Times piece, because they don't want to be mobbed by the COVID Karens either. It says all about the media and when their narrative gets blown up. A new study questions whether masks protect wearers. You need to wear them anyway. See what I'm saying? This is sort of a, yes, that does. I'm being asked, does that make me a masked gunman? All except for the part that I don't have the gun out. So we shouldn't trust the experts, I guess. But we get this. Researchers in Denmark reported on Wednesday that surgical masks do not protect the wearers against infection with the coronavirus in a large randomized clinical trial. But the findings conflict with those of a number of other studies, experts said, and is not likely to alter public health recommendations in the United States. The study published in the Annals of Internal Medicine did not contradict growing evidence that masks can prevent the transmission of the virus from wearers to others, but the conclusion is at odds with the view that masks also protect the wearers, a position endorsed just last week by the CDC. Critics were quick to note the study's limitations, among them that the design depended heavily on participants reporting their own test results and behavior at a time when both mask wearing and infection were rare in Denmark. from April to June, the researchers at the University of Copenhagen recruited 6,024 participants who had been tested beforehand to be sure they were not infected. Half of them were given surgical masks and told to wear them when leaving their homes. The others were told not to wear masks in public. And at that time, 2% of the Danish population was infected, a rate lower than in many places. Social distancing and frequent hand washing were common, but masks were not. About 4,860 participants completed the study. The researchers hoped that masks would cut the infection rate by half among wearers. Instead, 42 people in the mask group, or 1.8%, got infected, compared with 53 in the unmasked group, or 2.1%. That is not statistically significant, that difference. What it boils down to, you know, if you want a social distance, that's cool. And wash your hands. Yeah, count to 20 while you do it, as often as possible. The mask stuff has taken a hit. Most people, when you go into a place and you see a mask being worn and the nose is exposed or it's down around the chin, it's become facial decoration. Nobody's actually wearing a protective mask. A protective mask would be very restrictive. It's an N95 fitted to your face. It's sealed around your mouth. If you have a beard, not working. Right? If it's not sealed to your face, not working. And, you know, who do we trust on this one? And that changes from day to day. That changes from day to day. So, you know, I saw in Pennsylvania they're recommending that you wear a mask when you're in your house. Wear the mask, even though we know it doesn't work. That's the game. That's more there for you to learn to comply when they tell you to do something.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.